Few American cities are blanketed in smog anymore, but just because New York isn't Beijing doesn't mean there's no room to improve air quality. That's why the EPA is launching a challenge to cities and towns across the country to develop plans for using air quality sensors in a big data sort of way. Joining me with more, Robin Tottengall, the EPA's chief data scientist and director of analytics. Robin, good to have you back.
Hey, good to have you here.
So tell us about this challenge. You want cities to deploy air sensors. Isn't that something that they mostly do already?
What we are trying to do here is trying to understand what does it mean to have something like this from our perspective, right? Yes, you're absolutely right that there are cities across U.S. that already has some sort of sensors for monitoring air quality. But what we are trying to look is, if we have the opportunity to deploy low-cost air sensors across the United States, how can we effectively use that data from an EPA perspective to understand much more about air quality across the United States? And to give you a quick example of, for people to relate this to what does it mean. So if you think about our Google traffic, right? So the reason why we have such a good capability to predict the traffic using Google Maps is because they are using each of our smartphones as a sensor to track the traffic across different roadways across the United States. Similar to that, think of a world where we have sensors deployed across the United States by citizens that can be connected to EPA and where we can look at the data and try to understand, okay, there is a problem here. It could be a potential wildfire or, we can identify anomalies. So that's basically the long-term goal that we are looking for. But I think the challenge is mostly focused on trying to understand how would we deploy low-cost sensors across the United States and what does it mean from a technical perspective to deploy such a sensor. How do we store them? How do we handle them? And how do we do post-analysis on the data to infer some information out of it?
I guess one good parallel example would be the FCC, which monitors broadband upload and download speeds using people's internet connections throughout the country, and they get a good broadband map. You're trying to get an air quality map at a fine-grained level that maybe you don't have at this point.
Exactly.
For cities to deploy sensors, what do they need to do? In other words, how does the challenge itself work? What are you looking for from those cities and towns?
So basically, the way we are thinking about it is once a challenge is launched, we are encouraging communities to go and partner with their local governments and start thinking about, if I have the opportunity to deploy low-cost sensors across my community, how would I do it? And also engaging the citizen is another way of looking at this problem, because we are trying to encourage the idea of citizen science and crowdsourcing. So by communities partnering with the local governments and saying that, hey, we see this as an important part of our life and this is the way we want to do this, can we partner together? So one way that I have been thinking about this one would be, how about a scenario where universities, let's take up the scenario, I'm from Hopkins, so I would love to see Hopkins Engineering School partnering with the Baltimore City and say, okay, let's be a part of this challenge and trying to see if we can give back to EPA a set of technology platforms and set of guidelines on how we would deploy such a sensor across their city, in Baltimore in this case. So the idea would be, we are looking forward to see how the different cities and the communities across the U.S. can come back to us and say, hey, this is how we would solve this problem. And by doing this, our hope is that we will learn a bit more. Because if you think about it, if we go and do a study like this, there is only one study we can conduct, right? By creating a challenge, we are multiplying the effect of such a study, because there are multiple communities who will look at the same problem and come back to us and say that, okay, this is a potential way of solving it.
Now, the big cities have resources, and as you point out, big universities frequently nearby that can help them. What about small towns or rural towns that might have a factory or some emitting source where they need to monitor air quality but don't have the resources of a Baltimore or a New York or a San Francisco?
So in this case, the challenge we are just focusing on understanding what does it mean to deploy it, right? But what you are looking at is the question of how can we use low-cost sensors for more regulatory purpose. That is much more of a broader question, and we are still trying to understand the implication of that aspect, because these low-cost sensors have a really high tolerance. In other words, they don't give you the accurate air quality, right? So the deploying these kind of low-cost sensors across points of interest and trying to deduce some kind of an information is not trivial. So we are working on that aspect from an EPA perspective. That's much more of a broader question, and we have researchers working on from Office of Research and Development partnering with my team to look at that problem.
We're speaking with Robin Tottengall, the Chief Data Scientist and Director of Analytics at the EPA. Now, the sensors themselves have gotten much smaller. They don't need to be plugged in many cases. Is it an easier thing for a city to do now than, say, 10 years ago?
Yes. I mean, so a couple of things that has happened in the world of sensor deployment is now, even just if you look at the technology development, now we have even have platforms that is capable of collecting and communicating between a million sensors, right? So there is this new way of computing called edge computing. So this scenario is, let's say you have a main technology infrastructure sitting within EPA, and then we have a million sensors deployed across United States. These guys can communicate back and forth and tell that, okay, you know what, you told me that the air quality here is bad, then I want a recheck on the data that you send me to find, make sure that this was not an anomaly that you send me. So there is, the technology has advanced so much that we can actually create a self-aware sensor network that I think is going to change the way we look at some of these problems. And just to make sure, Tom, we are deploying this from an air quality perspective because air quality is easier for us to deploy. But in the long term, I see this kind of technology taking our water quality measurement, you know, be any of these points of interest or components of interest.
I guess once a city learns how to do sensors, they could even do sound quality and noise for that matter.
Yes, any kind of external component that can be sensed using a sensor will become a part of this ecosystem eventually. So, you know, the air quality is a piece of the puzzle, right? Because now we are looking at is the concept of the smart cities. So this is a piece of the whole smart city. There is going to be more and more sensors being a part of the city so that we can be more effective in every aspect of it. So we will improve the operational efficiency of the city. We are not creating more traffic. We are not creating more sound. We are making sure that everything is being much more smoothly run. So I can see that in near future, the city is becoming more smarter. And from an EPA perspective, we are mostly focused on air quality, water quality, other components that has environmental components to it. But, you know, the Department of Transportation is focusing on the transportation aspect of smart sensors.
And what would the elements of a plan be? Not to give away the key to the prize, but what are some of the elements in a plan that you're looking for?
So, I mean, what we are looking for is we want to see how the cities would come back to us and say, hey, you know, we can deploy a 250 sensor across my city, and this is what it would take us to do that. So that can be something they point to us, the fact that, okay, the sensors are not, I mean, we might say that the sensors are cheap when we look at one sensor, right? But from a city's perspective, they will come back and say, hey, this is a good idea when we look at from one home perspective, but if we have to deploy this across the entire city, that will cost us X amount of dollars to just invest in sensors. Then the question is, I just did a back of the envelope calculation to find out how much data that will come out of a sensor like this. So if you think about a scenario of having sensors that is sensing 1 millisecond data set to a central platform, and if you look at Washington, D.C., Washington, D.C. is approximately 68 square miles. That's the area of Washington, D.C. And if you have a sensor that is deployed across D.C. per square mile, and if you just do a rough estimate of calculation, you are collecting approximately 7.5 terabytes of data per year.
The citizen scientists march along. Robin Tottengall is Chief Data Scientist and Director of Analytics at the EPA. As always, thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks, Tom.
You can share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.